Hi, this is Heather Havenwood, and today I'm going to be talking to you about an amazing, amazing woman. This girl is someone that is, she's a secret weapon for getting and keeping the girl of your dreams. Marnie, are you in the line?
I am. Hi, how are you doing?
Hey, I am so excited to talk to you because, as you know, Marnie, there is very few women in this business talking about what basically women want. You know what? I love one of your taglines on your website, which is, "What the hell does women want?" Right? That is the number one question, right?
Yeah.
What the hell? That's what I get from guys. What the hell do you want?
Exactly.
It depends on how they. Right, they ask it. So I'm just excited to have you on the phone, and I'm just going to let this interview just flow. I don't have a list of questions in front of me. I just want the girls to talk, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about Marnie. Her website is winggirlmethod.com, the secret weapon for getting and keeping the girl, and I love that. 9 secrets most men will never know about women. And Marnie, I just want to ask you if you'd start off with, you know, Marnie, how did this get started? How did you go down this road of helping men get and keep the girl?
Well, I was drunk, which is usually how all businesses started.
Perfect.
I guess right, exactly. But even before that, before my drunken mess, I was friends with a lot of men my entire life. I've always been the best girlfriend to guys. So I have been helping my guy friends become masters in their dating lives and masters with dealing with women and understanding women and finding out exactly what women want forever. I've helped them get their girlfriends. I've helped them get sex. I've helped them get dates. And so when I moved to Los Angeles, when I was 23, I happened to be at a singles mixer, and no one was talking to each other. Men were on one side of the room, and women were on the other side. So I literally started grabbing men, and I was like, come on, you're going to go talk to her, and here's what you're going to say, and tuck in your shirt, and get your shoulders up straight, and here's what she was saying to you when she was doing X, Y, and Z. So I was being a wing girl for the evening, and by the end of the night, people were exchanging numbers, the men and women were completely integrated, and I was proud of myself, and tipsy, and got home, and I was talking to my roommate saying, I loved what I did that night. I hate my day job. Couldn't stand it. And I wanted to be a wing girl. And he was like, there is no way guys are ever going to want to sign up to get advice from a woman because they don't care what women think. And no guy will ever pay you unless you throw in like a blowjob and a case of beer. And I was like, that is not true. And so I marched into my bedroom and I put up an ad on Craigslist saying like, what better ways to attract bees with honey? Something so stupid, but it was like, I'll be your wing girl. And by the next morning, I had 75 guys who had responded. So I was like, all right, there's something here. So I started arranging to go out with these guys and be their wing girl live and in person. And over time, my business has obviously morphed. And now what I do is actually provide more advice and information to men. And I coach them and I have informational products on my site. It's just like a plethora of information from a woman's point of view. And not only my point of view, but from the thousands of other women that I've talked to over my 7 years of doing this. And the reason that I love working with men so much is because I totally see and hear all of their frustrations every single day from my guy friends and then vice versa from my female friends. And I can see the middle point where they're just not understanding each other because one side has one word for something and the other side has another word for something. But they're both saying the same thing. So my goal is to really be the bridge in the gap of communication and like help people understand what's going on so that they can get everything that they want, especially men, because men are awesome. Men are super awesome. I'll work on the ladies later.
I love boys.
Yeah. I love boys.
I just love boys.
Yeah.
I have to laugh about that. Someone said it to me one day. They said, I just love boys. And I started laughing. I do too. I just love boys. They're so cute.
They are.
They really want to try so hard to get something. And they just really want it. They just don't know how. And you said it perfect when you said, okay, tuck in your shirt. Put your shoulders back. Smile really big and go over there because she wants to talk to you. And they just
exactly.
Kind of go, really? And even at the age of 24, even at the age of 35, they still have that going on. It never stops, right?
No,
it's so cute.
Exactly. It's adorable, I guess. But you know what? It's also kind of sad sometimes because I actually was in London recently. And that's where, you know, I'm married now, but I, you know, was on my own and I was going on the tube and interacting with people a lot more than I typically do. Like now, you know, at home, my social circle is a set social circle, so it's not as often that I'm interacting with strangers. And so I just kept noticing all these opportunities for picking up, approaching, and interacting with people. Like, guys would look at me on the tube. I had my hand covered so you couldn't see that I was married. They would look at me on the tube. I would look over at them and smile. They would turn their heads away. And then I would turn back and be like, what the hell's going on? Why is he not looking over my way again? Then I would look back and he was still staring at me. And I'd be like, ugh, get over and approach. Because right now, after doing that second look, you're the creepy dude on the subway who's staring at me and not taking action. So it's adorable. Right, to some degree, and then it's creepy and then it's sad because these are wonderful guys who are making these simple mistakes over and over and over again, who can turn it around quite quickly and get the results that they want if they just did a few simple things, which is why you and I are here. And there's lots of other people as well who are helping teach us information. But I hope like we're on the same page that that's why you and I exist, to help them cut through that crap, not be the creepy guy, and be that guy that gets the girl.
Let me ask you a question, your opinion, since you've been doing this for 7 years. I mean, you've obviously seen a lot of situations come through, and you live in Los Angeles. We both live in the States here. You know, why do you think that all this information, why is there such a need? Why do you think there's such a need now in this day and age for men to learn to approach, to create those opportunities? I mean, why now? Why, you know, it wasn't, this is kind of a new niche. It's an old niche, but it's a new niche, right? It really is kind of a, it's not developed niche. It's new. And why do you think nowadays, in this time and age, what are you seeing on your side that guys need the most? What are they not being taught?
Okay, well, I'll answer the first question first. So, why is it now? So, self-help in general is like this new topic that's becoming massive, right? People are really interested in it because people are starting to explore themselves. In the past, if somebody explored themselves, they were considered psycho or crazy, or if they ever needed assistance with something that was supposed to be a natural skill set on their own, people would look down upon them and it could become quite embarrassing. Now, with online marketing and different self-help books, oh, can you hold on 1 second? My husband has actually walked in the door, so it's gonna get noisy. Hold on. Sorry about that. Okay, anyway. Going back to talking now. So that's the first thing, is that just in general, everything is coming up now. People are allowed to say what their insecurities are. They're allowed to say if they're having trouble with something. They're allowed to ask for help. That's a new thing that's happening lately. The main thing that I'm noticing with men and women, and I'm only 30, so I wasn't, you know, around when roles were for genders were very very set in stone. Like, a man goes to work, a woman stays at home, she raises her family. It's a lot more confusing now because women are doing everything, men are doing everything, and we don't really know what role we're supposed to take on, which puts a lot more pressure on us because we're supposed to take on everything. And then it's confusing to men about, are they supposed to approach a woman because she's feminine now and she should be in control, and do I approach her and she is more successful than me? And a woman's like, should I be approaching? Should I not be approaching? And it's very confusing, I think, for both of the sexes. So that it used to be men, you know, would do the approaching, and that was set in stone, and a woman would reciprocate. And now there's just so many different things that men and women can do, so many roles that they can take on, which also creates more barriers and boundaries and guards for protection. So that's what I think is going on with men and women. And I, you know, I talk a lot that about that a lot more in my programs, in fuller detail. But that's like a little summary. Mainly, it's confusion. Okay, and we're slowly getting out of that right now because I think women are going back to feminine rather than feminist. And that's like, again, a whole other topic. But for the major mistakes that I see lots of men making, the number one mistake that I see guys making is that they instantly put women who are attractive that they don't know on a pedestal. So they see a really hot woman and they're like, oh my God, she's hot. She's better than me. My 25 years, 35 years, 45 years of knowing myself and being awesome means absolutely nothing because she's pretty. Okay? She's just wearing one of her skills on her sleeves. It's obvious. Everybody can see it. But yet they don't know anything else about her. And they still value her more in that moment and moving forward more than they value themselves. And that's also, you know, where I do assist men, is helping them really rediscover or discover their value, build up a life for them so that they don't put so much emphasis on this one woman who's attractive.
That's a good point, and I want to kind of bring that into, you know, the people that are listening to this are men that probably, you know, bought the product under Heather Havenwood of, you know, only date younger women. So the person that's listening to this, is he might be between the ages of 30 to 55, most likely divorced, maybe not, and they're looking for a younger woman, someone who's beautiful, someone when they walk in that room, it's like, wow, who's that on your arm? And, you know, going into the second time around, per se, or they've gotten out of a relationship of 15, 20 years, they have kids, now they're going back into the quote-unquote dating world, where they've been out of the dating world for 15 years.
Right.
And that's the biggest thing I hear from, or not really complaint, but confusion.
Yeah.
There's a huge gap. You know, if they're married, let's say they're 45, and they've been married for the last 15 years, they just got divorced, that's over, now they're going back into the dating world, and the dating girl who's 30, what would you say to them right now? What would be some advice that you would give to them in guiding for getting beautiful young women that is different than it was 20 years ago? But what's happening today? What kind of advice would you give these guys?
Say, learn how to tweet. No, I'm just joking. Don't learn how to tweet at all. Really, like now, if you're getting back into the game, I say, honestly, the first step for you to do is really reevaluate who you are. If you've been in a relationship for 15 years, that means that's been your identity for 15 years. So you better go shake up your social life and regrow yourself and your social world around you, so that when you do meet a woman, 35, 25, 55, whatever it is, you don't pounce on this woman, because she will become your world at that moment if you don't have another world that exists. So that's step one. The second step for interacting with younger women who, you know, might be my age, who are 30 or happen to be younger than me, is don't make your age obvious, or don't be discouraged by your age. That's the biggest thing. And again, it comes back to mindset. So if you are going to approach a younger woman, don't try and speak on her terms or be cool or dress to be younger. It's you can be 85 and approach a 25-year-old and be super attractive. If you maintain who you are, understand that you're awesome and that you have every right to be talking to that girl. If you start trying to be somebody else so that it's more attractive to her and fits into her world, that's immediately mm-hmm. when she's going to stop being attracted to you. One other thing that I've noticed is my husband's actually 9 years older than me. So when I was 23, I met him, and he was, you know, 32, 33. And the one thing that I noticed that he never did to me was let me know that I was younger, or remind me that I was younger, or remind me that he was older constantly. I think if I was always made to feel that I was the younger person in the relationship, or that I don't know yet because I'm so young and I haven't gone through the steps that he's gone through, it would have put me into a place of insecurity, which is very similar to, you know, pickup manipulation. And that's not ever a safe place that you want to put into a woman, especially if you want her to be comfortable, to let loose sexually, emotionally, physically, whatever. Put her in her most feminine and relaxed state, and you will get all the most positive things out of her. So again, never, it's not, don't acknowledge your age difference. You can acknowledge that you are of a different age, but anytime that you have an insecurity about it, or you feel uncomfortable and put that discomfort on the woman that you're wanting to date or date, you'll instantly lose the connection, and it'll make created an uncomfortable situation, and therefore attraction will be lost.
One of my war dating stories I go into is about that, where the gentleman, I mean, I usually have dated gentlemen between the ages of 10 to 15 years older than me.
Yeah, me
and
too.
One of my dating war stories is I've had a gentleman who point blank, you know, he's like, you're younger, you know, you're different, you're, you know. And
it's like, yes, I am.
I was like,
daddy.
Yeah, I said, well, it's true, I'm younger, you know, but you don't have to make it such an obvious, well, you're younger, you don't understand, is one of the things he said, or you would never understand where I'm coming from because you don't have kids, or, you know, whatever.
Ugh.
And it just kind of had this distance between us, you know,
it's
really
horrible.
Work.
There's no connection there. How do you connect if somebody's constantly telling you how different you are? The thing is, you can be different from somebody else. Like I always say, okay, know your values, right? So I can have my set of values. My partner doesn't have to have my set of values, but they have to be able to respect them and understand that that's who I am. So it's the same thing with age differences. I can be younger than you, but you can appreciate the fact that I'm younger and understand it and be empathetic, not put it down, insult it, or create a distance from us by pointing out the differences that we do have. Or if we're at a different level, like, then you shouldn't be with me anyway. If you really think that we're that different and that it's not appropriate for you or I wouldn't understand your world, then why do you want to be with me? Because those, like for me, if I were to be with an older man, and when I have been with older men and they've planted those ideas in my head, it would make me think, oh, so why are you with me then? Is it only because of my looks? Is it only because of my age? Is it because I'm cute? Is it because I'm good in bed? Rather than, oh, this is a great girl who I want to connect with, build something with, we're on the same page, there's a partnership. You know, if you keep pointing out the differences, then it's only going to distance you. And again, put the woman into a place of insecurity, which is typically where you are at if you're creating those distances.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of differences, if you don't mind, I'm looking on your site, winggirlmethod.com, and I noticed that you have been in a Jewish like a magazine or online magazine.
Yeah. Is that right? God, that was a long time ago. Yeah.
Jewish Journal. Well, I mean, may I ask you, are you Jewish?
Yeah.
Okay, you are. I don't know that. Okay, well, I know that, right?
Oh.
So, speaking of differences, you know, is that something that, because I get that question all the time, you know, younger women, sometimes the differentiation only age, maybe they have kids, maybe they don't. Maybe they have different religions, maybe they don't. And again, we're talking to men here that have been out of this dating scene for 10, 15, sometimes even 20 years.
Right.
And they're walking back into that. And they're going after women that are in their 20s or early 30s. And so could you mind talk about the differences with religion in dating in today's world? It might be different from in the past.
You know what? I actually don't know. That's never been a question that I've been asked before. I'll give my general response to that. For any differences that do exist, you can only be who you are. And as soon as you start fighting somebody to like you because of something or trying to convince them to like you, then you kind of got to drop it at some point. Like you have to, if you're 20 years older than them or 15 years older than them, like you got your shit figured out already, you know, you've got your life put together or you're working on putting your life together. If there is a fear about religion, it does come from past experience. It comes from expectations from family members and pressure from family members. So respect and understand that. But if it consistently pops up as an issue, with a person that you're dating and you can't get her to calm down about that topic by being like an open book and being responsive and being caring and being helpful, then, you know, you kind of have to evaluate the situation if this is the right person for you, either because they're a different religion or because they're younger and aren't really able to separate that. I will say that I had that with my husband when I was younger too. Because I started dating him, and I am a 23-year-old Jewish girl from Toronto who only knew Jews, you know, or knew the option of Jews to date for a very long time. My husband happens to be mixed Catholic and 9 years older than myself. And so at first, it was kind of a bit of a shock because there is a different upbringing and there's, you know, there's a different way of being. But the thing that he did is he didn't allow himself to get caught up in that. He, you know, it wasn't like, okay, exactly what we were saying about age before, where he's like, ooh, well, I am Catholic and you're Jewish. Like, he didn't point those things out. He kind of knew what he was getting into. And if some issue did arise, then we would talk about it. I'd usually freak out about it a little bit, and then he'd be able to help me calm down. And that's what I love, that he was able to help me calm down. He might get caught up in the emotional stuff too for a moment, but then he'd eventually be able to calm down and really just put my mind at ease and go back to being the protector and go back to being the one that could keep me safe. And that's what I ultimately liked. Even if we did both emotionally get caught up in it at first, he was always able to go back to that really great understanding place. And I've learned that from him, actually. kind of learning. What? I've learned that from him. Like, because before I used to freak out all the time. I was 23 years old. I was really young, and I would constantly let my emotions get the better of me, and I would freak out, and I would get nervous, and I would, you know, think, okay, what are my friends going to think if I'm dating someone who's not Jewish, and like, is that weird, and can I handle that pressure? And it, you know, it was a lot that I was dealing with internally, and then kind of just realized at a certain point that it's kind of bullshit. Doesn't really matter. It's what I think, and that helped me let it go. But it wasn't through him trying to convince me to let it go. It was just through him being an awesome and understanding man where I was like, okay, it doesn't matter what religion he is. He's great.
Well, that kind of goes to, I just, you know, finished the book, Getting Inside Her Mind, and I talk a lot about not being controlling, but being a leader inside of the relationship.
Okay.
And that's what I heard is that, you know, he's being a leader inside the relationship and being calm, and you begin to mirror that. And I was talking to a girlfriend of mine the other day, and I said, you know, guys just understand that women begin to mirror them.
Yeah.
So when he became calm, over time you became calm.
Yes.
Right? If he freaked out, you would have freaked out even more. Right?
Exactly. Because right. When I'm freaking out, I'm like, I need a pillar. I'm usually all together, and now I'm breaking down. And like, if that guy's breaking down too, I am going to emasculate him. I will walk all over him, right. And I'll put all of my anxiety on him at that moment. And then I will not be attracted to him for a week afterwards. Because in that moment where I am falling apart, all I need is stability. It's really nothing that is coming out of my mouth. Any venom that is spewing out is really just coming from insecurity, anxiousness, discomfort. I'm not saying that it's correct and that I should be doing it, but I'm saying that's where it's coming from. And the more stable and strong he can be in that moment and either laugh off the situation or not make me feel like I'm crazy in my crazy moments, that's when I'll actually grow more appreciation for him.
And he not making you wrong. Like, he not making you wrong that
right.
How you're feeling is wrong. I mean, for instance, you know, I talk about it in my war dating room, is, again, that mirror. You know, I went on a few dates with someone I was dating off and on, and I was upset about something. And instead of him just being calm and listening and it's, you know, like just being with what's there, he freaked out. And so next thing you know, whatever I was upset about had nothing to do with him. I was just upset. And it went from me being upset to him upset to us fighting and breaking up.
Right. Exactly.
And I'm like, you can't do that. I am your mirror, right? If you freak out, then I'll freak out.
Exactly.
But if I freak out and you're calm, I will go to you. A female will actually readjust her energy to the man.
Yes.
It happens, especially an authoritative man, a leader, someone who's a masculine energy, the woman will eventually calm to herself and be whatever he's being, that same energy field. And so when you said that, I was like, oh my God, I totally agree. Your boyfriend didn't make you wrong. He completely was just what's there is there, and not make you wrong for who you are or what you're about or past experiences or religion, whatever it is. He just was with who you were.
Yeah.
And I think that is key when you have a man, and again, hopefully people who are listening to this call are men who are like going back into that phase of their life and dating all over again and getting to know somebody. It is a scary place, and this is good information for them to know. They don't have to be that pickup artist. They can just be a strong, masculine man, and they will attract many, many fabulous young women.
I agree. I thought you put that really well. I like how you say the mirroring who you are. I think that that's really important. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, no, it's just so true. I mean, it's just true. I mean, we forget. I think men forget about that. And I want to go into a little bit about this, talk about the wing method and going. I mean, I know you do the wing method. Do you go into bars a lot with guys? Do you go into situations with guys outside of bars that you maybe talk about, things approach? I remember, you know, we're talking to guys who, let's say, are going back into the dating world after 15 years. So what are some tips or strategies that you can maybe help them with?
Oh, actually, you know, I don't even do those outings anymore with people live, with wing girls at bars. I'm gonna start doing them again soon, but not in the same way as I was doing it before.
Yeah.
Mainly because I'm not in love with bars is the reason that I do it, and I'm not a pickup artist. I'm not gonna take you to a club if you're not comfortable with a club. I teach men how to pick up a woman at coffee shops, supermarkets, in
Good,
their
okay.
like everywhere around the
Perfect.
world. So the main thing for anybody, this is the first step that you have to do if you are post-divorce or post-breakup after being in a couple for a really long period of time. You have to start making a new life and getting new friends because all your friends are in couples, all your friends are in relationships, and that gets depressing and you get into a weird world. And literally, you have to give your social life a jump start and do things that you don't want to do. You're going to force yourself to take risks. You're going to force yourself to, in your calendar, schedule three singles events a week and, trying to go out to social places and actually interact and approach people that you wouldn't typically interact and approach with. It can be daunting at first because you're not familiar with it. You were in a safe world for 20 years. That obviously was a world that was making you unhappy, but it was a very safe and comfortable world. And now you're back to being single, which is like super fun. It's a blast to be single. And you go out and you get to decide what you want to do. You don't have to compromise for anybody else. And that, again, can also be something very daunting. So it's about really, thinking through what do you want to do? What do you want to try? What do you want to experience? And then from that list that you make of the things that you want to, incorporate into your life, you say, okay. Which things can I find in singles events, or which things could I find in groups that may have other people that I can meet who are single, who might have other guys that I can meet who are single that I could go out with socially? You have to rebuild that whole new world. You still have your old world as well. You have your old friends, but this is about you at this moment. It's about refinding a new life that works for you.
I like that a lot. That's
Thanks.
definitely critical, I think, with refining yourself. I mean, I call it dating detox.
Yeah. Oh, and it's super
Yeah.
sexy to women as well. If you have a full life and you have things going
Definitely.
on, and you have friends and you're like, I've got my shit together, I don't need you, it's absolutely the most attractive thing that you can have going on. We want to see that you've got all your stuff together. We want to see that you have passions. We want to always be special and be probably the number one, but we don't want you to give up everything else for us. Like, we want attention from you. We don't want you to pounce on us and need us and be eager and dependent on us, because we don't know what we're doing either, and that's too much of a responsibility for us. But like that's where we're coming from. We want a world exactly what you said. I love that mirroring thing. I think it's great. I'll quote you when I use it, but I'm going to start using it now.
Yeah,
But
please do.
yeah, it's really like you want to see a life that you can join. You want to
Yeah, a
have
life that
that.
you can join. Oh, that's great. I like that. Yeah, it's really, and something that I want to add one more thing to that is, again, because we're talking to men who most likely are divorced, and maybe majority of them have kids or don't. Something that's very attractive to younger women, even if they have kids or don't, is not living for your kids. And I don't know if you deal with that at all, but I know that I deal with that, and some of the guys I work with is you've got to begin to rebuild your life, not just for your kids and your work. Doing things outside of that for yourself, playing tennis if you're a tennis guy, or doing salsa dancing, something that's different, that's unique, not just going to the pubs with the guys. It's something that is unique or different. That's going to help, I think, in relationships and connecting with younger women
Oh my
or women that
God,
they
yeah.
want to connect with, versus just
I'm a
I'm
dad.
either working or I'm a dad.
Well,
Right. I'm
actually,
working or I'm a
I
dad.
have this client that I worked with, and so we started talking about that as well. So he's, mid-divorce, but they've been separated for about 8 years. They actually live in a duplex, the ex-husband and ex-wife, and the kids split their time, which I thought was interesting, but a really nice scenario, for the children. And I said, how much time do you give to yourself each week for you time to go explore or go date? And he's like, oh, well, that's really hard to do. I have to make the dinners. I have to do this. And his kids are all, 15 and above. I think one might, actually no, they're 12 and above. So they're, you know, they're close to being able to possibly babysit for themselves. And I don't want to say like just abandoning your children, but the wife, the ex-wife's upstairs. So, you know, if he wasn't available one night, they could go upstairs. So it wouldn't really, they're not on their own. He's not leaving them by themselves. And I said, okay, well, you know, is there one night a week or maybe two nights a week that you could give to yourself? That could be, one night could be your date night and one night could be your night. And he said, yes, Thursdays could be my night. I said, okay, well then you're going to go home and you're going to have a conversation with your children that every Thursday night you will not be available. You will not be home until 10 o'clock. Whatever it is that you guys decide together works so that you can have that time either to go out for dinner with a friend on that Thursday night or to go out and go to a singles mixer or go out and join a group or a salsa dancing class or CrossFit, whatever it is that you choose to do with that time, that is your night where you get to be you and you're not a father and you're not a worker and you're not an ex-husband. You get to be you and explore you. And he got off the phone with me and wrote back the next day and said, I had a conversation with my kids. We sat down and we talked about it and they were so excited for me. And they said, that's great that I want to do this. And I, you know, that I want to rebuild my life. So they were hoping for it as well for him. You know, they want him to be happy. But that's the thing.
Right.
Yeah. The thing is, I don't ever want guys to abandon their children or their family and selfishly go off on their own to pursue their lives because they are still a father. They do have a responsibility. But there is a way to balance it so that you can kind of have everything. And it's really just about scheduling and being open and honest about what you need and understanding that there's another side as well of your children and they need you. So if they know in advance you're not going to be available on Thursdays, every Thursday, they know that in their head. There won't be any confusion. There won't be disappointment, and it's planned, and you take that time for yourself.
Well, that's a good point. You know, you talk about here on your site, you talk about the wing girl method and the secret word to getting and keeping the girl. Could you go a little bit more into what you mean by keeping the girl? So now you've approached, you've done things like this, you've got a beautiful woman on your arm. What would you say to these guys who are dating someone 10 or 15, even 20 years younger than them, how to keep the girl in their life?
Well, you have to have some connections, which is similar to what we were saying before. If you keep calling out the differences and why they're younger than you and how they wouldn't understand you, then there's no room for connections. You know, for approaching and dating and keeping the girl, that's really just saying that I'm there the entire time through. It's like you want to keep the girl, you want to keep the girl that you're married to make sure that she doesn't want to leave you, how to reignite the spark, all the way back to you want to get off your ass and start learning how to approach and talk to women. But so for men who are dating younger women, again, it comes from you're going to show them an interesting world. Obviously, you're older. What women do want to see from an older man is that he's got his shit together, right? He is a man.
Yeah,
he's got passions. He's got his full life. That is one of the appeals of older men. That's what I was always attracted to. I did not like boys that were my own age. I always loved older men, like even 10 to 15 years older, 20 years older. You know, when I was 22, I was attracted to a man who was in his 50s. Like, I just always liked men who like had their stuff together. They knew what they wanted. They had, or seemingly so. You know, not everybody has all their stuff together, but there are people who are more experienced, and older men were more experienced. And now I forget the tangent that I was going on right now, but
well, you talked about show them a more interesting world, and I wanted to highlight that for a second. Showing them a more interesting world doesn't mean being a bad boy and having a Harley and showing them off. That just means not a boring world. I mean, that's another way to say be interesting. Have other things going on in your life than just work and kids if you have that. Doing something, even if you're a wine connoisseur, something that's unique and different that you guys can connect on some level rather than just work or kids. You know, and
exactly.
I think that's where a lot of marriages go wrong, but that's what we're talking about. We're talking about how can an older man keep the girl that he wants in his life over a period of time. You know, what's going to hold that beautiful woman attracted to him over a period of time?
Yeah. No, that's exactly where I was going. You summed it up perfectly for me, so it was great. Yeah.
Okay. I think that's what you were saying, right?
Yeah, no, that's exactly what I was saying. That was perfectly put, so thank you.
That was perfect. Okay, good. Well, because I'm just like you, Marnie. I mean, I definitely date older men. I've always dated older men. Even when I was 18, the guy I was dating was 27, you know. And in fact, I'm still friends with him today. And we kind of laugh about it. And he's still a dear friend of mine to this day. And because he had a more interesting world at that time. He had his own place. He had this. He had that. He could do stuff that guys when they were 18 couldn't do, you know. And now I date men in their 40s or 50s because of the same thing. I enjoy exploring. I think all women want to have fun. Mm-hmm. And all women want to explore. And what I find, you tell me what, you're in L.A., and heck, I don't know, there's gorgeous women in L.A., but what I hear from other beautiful women is that they want someone that not only can treat them well, but can, what I call, keep them interested and fun and exploring. Does that make sense?
Fun, exciting, exploring, open to fantasy. We're women, so we're always trying to hit our ideal of, like, what the perfect scenario is. Do we have the best relationship? That's what we're always striving for. So we want somebody who, you know, who doesn't get comfortable and complacent and who forgets that, you know, there can still be something sexy about a 14-year-old relationship and that we are still sexy after that amount of time. Or, you know, we want that excitement and fun and energy, and we would love if a man could bring that to the table. So if a man has a full life, he can offer that up more often than somebody who doesn't have, you know, their life together, who doesn't know what they want, who's you know, selfishly looking inwards and not really focused on bettering the relationship. They're very focused on themselves, which I find from a lot of younger men, and that's totally fine. But I exactly what you said. I love older men always seemed to have more appealing and interesting lives to me. And if they also believed that that was true about themselves, then that's when I was attracted to them.
You talk about your value. You said it a few times. Do you go more into that with your products information about owning a man's value? Could you explore that a little bit? I've never actually heard that from a perspective of a man. Please tell me more about that.
Your values. This is actually a new thing for me as well that I've been exploring in my own coaching. But I think it's really important for people to understand the values that they have. Not just straight values like I value family and I value the, like, not things like that, but on a deeper level. Like, for me, I know that I value really deep connections. I value fun and freedom and independence. Those are my top values. And so everything around my life, I want to fit it into those values as well. So again, what I was saying about either somebody else respecting that those are my values or about somebody sharing those values. Usually people that I share the values with are my friends, and the people who respect my values are actually, like, you know, my husband. It's interesting because we can explore each other's values and then just appreciate the other person's values. I tell men, I have this form that I can actually give to you. To give to guys to help them really discover what their values are and what they want, because it's all about you. And so then when you go on dates, you can ask questions surrounding your values, because that's how you're going to be evaluating whether or not somebody's right for you. Instead of just having, you know, banter and flirting is totally fun, but if you do want to get into something a little bit more serious or want to explore more about another individual, you know, not just on a sexual level, potentially for dating or another long-term relationship, you want to ask the right questions. This is the same thing as going into a business relationship, right? You want to do your due diligence. So there's interrogating ways of asking questions, and there's interesting ways of asking questions that will let you see who that person is and get to know them better and understand if they can respect your values or admire your values or share the same values as you.
Do you find that in your coaching, you worked with men one-on-one, do you find that no matter what the age someone is, that most men have not identified their values, like really looked at them, or do you find that they have? They just have them right there. They just, this is what they are.
Some men have, but I think that a lot of times their values are kind of, I don't want to say that they're wrong, obviously, because they're their own values. But I think they need to fine tune them a little bit more or understand them. Yeah. Unless you've actually taken time to really evaluate your values, I would say most people don't know them. In general, most people overall think that they do and they have a general idea of what they value. But when you actually take time to, like, think about it and go through it and really, like, for me, I had certain values pop up that I didn't realize were important. Like, privacy is not a value for me. I know that. I am not a private person. I don't value it. And in the past, I would get mad at people who wanted to keep their information covered up or didn't want to share, because I also value deep connections, right? And so that involves sharing information. And so in the past, it would get me really upset. But once I understood the concept of values and that privacy can actually be a really strong value for somebody, then I was able to understand it and accept it from other people and really respect the fact that they did have this value of privacy. Not that they just, you know, were insecure about themselves and didn't want to share, that they actually valued something really strongly and wanted to hold it close to them. Very similar to the way that I want to hold that my own values close to me. So it's just like knowing your values helps bring you closer to other people, either from a place of acceptance of those people or of acceptance on your behalf of understanding more who you are.
Interesting. That's actually, you and I share the same values, I'm learning, out of the conversation. Yes.
No, I knew that right away from when we started talking, because you're a sharer as well. I know that you're like bubbly, you're fun, you're free, you say whatever you want. No, I like that. That's what, like, from the first time that you wrote to me, I can feel that right away.
Oh, thank you. Well, but I could, when you're saying it though, I've never had that framed that way. You just framed it, especially when you brought up privacy, because I've, you know, been in a relationship with the past, that person, I just thought, I never looked at it as they just valued privacy. I looked at it as kind of weird. Like, why don't they ever want to share anything? What's the deal? You know, like, what are they hiding?
Oh, my God. I would get so mad at my husband. Why don't you want to talk about your ex-girlfriends? What's wrong with you? Because that's how I got to know people more, right? And then for him, he really valued privacy. And also, he valued not hurting me with information about somebody else, you know? And, like, we just had that different level of respect for privacy. Not a good thing or a bad thing, but in the past I did think it was a bad thing, and now I understand it on a different level, and I actually really respect it that he is that private, because that means that he's private with our information and doesn't share information with other people. And, you know, it's a great thing. Sometimes my lack of respect for privacy kind of bites me in the ass, so it's not a good thing sometimes. It's great for our business, you know, and what we do, because I think that for you and I, the fact that we do share this information with people about, you know, some of our most intimate moments and about our experiences is so helpful. And people wouldn't learn if people didn't share these experiences. So there's, you know, value to our value, and then it can also hurt us sometimes.
Right. Yeah. No, I'm the same way. Sometimes I say too much and I don't mean to hurt. Yeah. But I'm like, I'm just trying to share. Yeah.
I know.
So I just find that interesting, but I never really, had it framed that way. Like, this is someone's value system and we can learn to accept that, and it doesn't have to be 100% equal, but you can accept it and then understand it, respect it. And I think, again, going back to who, you know, who's listening to this CD, you know, as you're driving down, or you're listening to this on your iPad on the airplane, whatever it is, in first class or wherever you're at, just understand that when you're going back into the dating world, you know, change is good, and it's okay to change.
It's amazing.
It's okay to alter yourself. You're not altering who you are. You're just exploring, and a change is good. You know?
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing. Can I just add on one thing to that? This is something that I've learned lately. Instead of thinking of things as like a big picture concept, it's better to break it down into little tiny goals. So for me, for example, if I were to think big picture concept for business of where I want to be, that might freak me out in some way because I see only my end goal. For men who are trying to get back into the dating world, they may see, oh my God, I'm going to like have to go out and date all these women and start all over and big concept. I'm going to get into a relationship and it's going to be exactly the same as my last one and blah, 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 blah. Instead of thinking of it as big picture end goal or end vision, like literally go down into a quiet place in your home at night, one night, take out a piece of paper and write down the little goals, the little things that you want to achieve, and then you can just organize them. It's like just doing a brain dump on a piece of paper of little things that you want, and then you can slowly start to draw a map together and find out what is stage one, what do I have to accomplish in stage one, and have it as like a checklist on your fridge so that you actually are responsible for doing those things. And if that doesn't work for you, if scheduling doesn't work for you, you know, assign one of your friends to be responsible for helping you get motivated and say, listen, if I don't do this on Saturday night, I have to do this for you, or, you know, whatever system works best for you, you have to figure that out, whatever works best for you. But really just to break it down so that it's not this grandiose big concept, that, because if it is, then you're going to shy away from it and just stay at home and watch American Idol.
Right. Well, and I think that goes back to, you know, guys who just got out of divorce or just came back into the dating industry or just dating kind of world. I mean, I meet those guys all the time, and it's daunting for them. One of the things that I came across, and again, this is one of my dating war stories. Men, you'll always hear about my dating war stories. This wasn't actually a date. I met him at a local restaurant. It's a very high-end restaurant I go to a lot to just have dinner at the bar. And met him there, good guy, just got divorced, you know, a good-looking guy, nice, 40s, had a kid, whatever. Typical, nice, you know, really great guy. But where things really got strange, like, I knew he just got out of the divorce. It's not even been a year yet, something like this. It was new. You know, he was like new back in, you know, very new. And this is a good example of someone who's just putting all his weight on the brakes in the space of dating. Like, he's just angry about it.
Really?
And you've got to release that brake and put it on the gas and go through changes and new things. And one of the things he talked about was texting. Right? So we're not on a date. I just met him, and I'm you know, talking to him a little bit, and I'll text somebody and talk and just chit-chat. And he just starts getting really angry with me. All these young people are texting. And I look at him, and I say nicely, like, look, if you are going to date, we go back to the dating world, and you're going to date someone in their 30s, which I think you probably want to, you're going to deal with women texting. We like to text, and we'll text you, and you'll text. And he had his old flip phone. He goes, well, I'm not going to get rid of my flip phone. And I just went, I got it. Well, then here's the thing. You just cut yourself off.
Yeah, exactly.
80% of the women that are single in their 30s, you just cut them out.
Yeah.
You just cut them out because you won't willing to change to what they like to do now. This is just how it is. In his business, he doesn't have to. Whatever his business was, he just doesn't have to, you know, be on top of the BlackBerry, stuff like that. I was like, if you're going to want, and I had three other guys I dated just this last year that all had company cell phones, like company BlackBerries. Mm-hmm. And I said to them, I'm not texting you there, because if you start texting anything fun or sexy to me, I don't want that. If you leave the company.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah,
the phone.
And they're like, oh, don't worry about it. I go, no, you don't understand. You don't own that phone. They pay for it. It's their phone. It's a BlackBerry. You can't tell me that they don't see what's on that phone. I'm not going to email your company email, you know? And they're so both of them, well, actually one of them actually went out the next week, because you know what, you're right. And he went out and got a private number so that that way he texts his kids and, you know, ex-wife, and it's free. You know, it's more freeing for him. And he was like, you're right. You know, if I'm going to be able to converse with you and send you flirt texts, I don't want to feel like this phone might be taken from me from the HR department next week, you know?
Yeah, like somebody's watching you, exactly. Well, actually, I wanted to comment on what you were saying before about, like, people who are technology, what is it, adverse, or, like, again, not against technology, but, like, angry towards it. Like, the truth is, he doesn't have to switch over to texting. I would say, yes, I would recommend learning, and I think it's actually kind of cute when somebody doesn't know how to use it and who's kind of okay with not being able to use it and trying to. But it's really just the fact that he was bitter towards it. Like, oh, I'm not
going to
do it.
He was bitter towards it.
It's the bitterness there. That's all that it is. He doesn't have to text. If a girl texts him, he can just, like, literally call her and say, like, listen, I'm a gentleman. I prefer to call. Or you can come over and show me how to text. Teach me how to text. That'll be our first date. Like, there's a cute way that you can use that to your advantage. But if you're just angry and bitter towards everything, ugh, such a turnoff. And yeah, you're totally cutting out a huge chunk of people. Not because you don't text, but because you're a bitter jerk.
Yeah, he just was bitter about it. And I even said, well, I can teach you. And instead of him going, okay, well, let's make a date of it or something fun, or why don't you go with me to the iPhone store and help me pick something out because I don't understand it.
Exactly.
He could have completely did that, but he didn't. He's like, wah, wah, wah.
And I went, no, okay, I can't even believe. But you're the same as me. Like, I'll sit and try and convince these people for so long, and then it just drains my energy, and then my night's over. I'm like, oh, you're such an energy sucker. Like, that's the, like, but you and I are not like typical women. Other women will literally turn around and not talk to that person anymore. Like, I'm nice.
I do what I could.
But most women will. That is the woman that they're out there dealing with. So don't think that you have a million shots with this woman. If you show women that bitterness right away, that's like the one strike against you right away. We're constantly scanning and evaluating, not in a bitchy, manipulative way, but in a, is this person good enough for me? Is this person somebody that, exactly what you said before, the mirroring. Is this the person that I want to be? Is this the person that I want to be represented by? Is this the person that I want to be around with? Because any partner that we select is somebody that we could be tied to for life, either because we get pregnant or because, you know, people know that we've dated them. We want to see our greatness in these men that are in front of us, which is also why, you know, a lot of girls get stuck in really bad relationships because they see potential in a man who actually ends up probably being a jerk or, you know, not reliable or whatever it is. And then she just gets so embarrassed by possibly being wrong about this prior assessment that she'll stay in that relationship for a long time and try to alter him or change him or whatever it is. But that's like a whole other interview topic. But yeah, we do. We want to see ourselves in that man. And if a man is great and wonderful, then we would also equate ourselves with being that or want to learn how to become that.
I love what you just said. We want a guy who represents us.
Yeah. That is sexy. I want to be with a loser. Oh, thank you. Thanks, Heather.
Kate, here's a concept I don't think guys get. All right. We want to be the hot girl that when you walk away from us, like at a party, we look over and go, oh, fuck yeah, we're with him.
Yeah, right? Exactly. I'm with that guy. That's my guy.
Yes! Like, oh, fuck yeah. That's my man.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what we want. We want the jealousy from other girls. We are competitive, you know, on a certain level. And it's a pride thing. It's like when we are with a great man, we can also feel better about ourselves. Because we're like, hey, that must mean that we're great as well. We're all humans. We all have insecurities and we're uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And we always want to be with people who are great. Because that usually typically means that we're great as well.
But that was beautifully said, that we want a guy who represents us. I mean, I can just, from my experience, I'm sure you have been there too, is that I've been experiences where I've been with a guy who, you know, nice guy, right? But not someone I go, yeah, like I'm with him.
Right.
And then I've been in situations where we're at an event or party or whatever it is, and no matter if he's across the room, across the house, I'm just like, oh, I'm taken.
Yeah.
Like, that's him.
And it's
like,
that guy.
Like, I'm going home with him, if you know what I'm saying. You know, like, I'm clear, and everyone in that space is clear. That's my man, right? But there's very few times in my life I've experienced that. Very few times that I've experienced that. That's who I'm with, and I'm proud to be with that guy. I think it's always the opposite. Guys want to feel like they're proud of their female, but I think girls really want that too. We want to go, yeah, that's our man. Like, that's my stud over there. That's my stud boy.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, and we want to have that.
Yeah, and it's not about their looks or anything. It's like, as a package, that's who the guy is. You can say, like, that fat, bald guy over there is mine, and I'm going home with him. It really has nothing to do with, like, chiseled abs and, like, a perfect facial structure. It's not to do with looks at all.
No, it's that stud factor, you know.
Yeah.
The stud factor. Yeah,
yes,
I just love how you said that.
All right, good. Well, then we should end our call now. I don't want to screw it up by saying bad things after that.
Well, we've been talking for an hour, so we'll go ahead and wrap it up. And so thank you for working with me, Marnie. Is there anything else that you want to say to these guys about you, what you do, what you're up to, and how they can find you?
Yeah, well, definitely. If guys want to get in contact with me, which they should, because there are several things that they can do. They can, you know, keep living the life that they're living right now and not make any changes. They can They purchased your product so they can start using the materials in your product and start working, you know, towards something better. Or if they want, what they can do is they can contact me and I can help them work through the process while working with your products and maybe working with my products as well to efficiently and effectively get them to a better place with women and overall for themselves. So if they want to check out me or my materials, they can go to winggirlmethod.com. And they can, there's like tons of free resources on there. There's a blog. I have a newsletter list that I recommend people signing up for, again, with tons of free materials, tips, videos, audios. Yeah. And then there's products and coaching services. There's a lot on there. So, you know, go play around. And anybody who listens to this audio, if you want to email me, I will send you a 25% off coupon and, you can use it on anything that's on my site.
Very nice. And you talked about a form about the value form.
Oh, the value form. I'm going to send that to you because I think it'd be really good for guys to discover their values.
Okay.
Okay.
So we'll put that on our site. We'll create a URL and you can Facebook me or email me and we can get that to you. If you're listening to this audio, then go ahead and Facebook me that you did and we'll get that value form to you from the Wing Girl Method. Does that work?
Perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome, and thank you for your time, Marnie.
You're welcome.